greatest commandments. First, let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, for this day. Thank you that I could be up here. Please help me be able to get through this. Please help everybody get a blessing from this. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we're going to talk about two great commandments today. Jesus talks about these in Mark 12:28. You would all flip there, please. Mark 12:28. And Mark 12:28, Jesus is talking with the scribes. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. So there we have the first commandment, to love the Lord. And how are we supposed to love the Lord? I mean, the Bible, sure, it has to tell us how we love the Lord. Well, in John 14:15, it says, sorry, I didn't have these marked. If you love me, keep my commandments. So in order to love the Lord, we have to keep his commandments. Well, I think there's another verse that says pretty much the same thing. 1 John 2:3, if anybody wants to flip there. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. So in order to know the Lord or love the Lord, we have to keep his commandments. Well, what are some of the Lord's commandments? Well, the most common commandments are the Ten Commandments, of course. I mean, everybody knows those. Everybody uses them all the time. The only problem is, most of the time, the people take out the second commandment, or the first one. I don't remember. I'll have to look at it. Hang on. Exodus 23-17, if everybody would please go there. Exodus 20:3. Everybody seems to not like the second commandment. The Catholic Church, I don't know why. They take out the second commandment, and then they'll split the tenth commandment in half. Use half of it for a commandment, which is not right. I mean, that's not how the Bible says it. The Bible says in Exodus 20:3, thou shalt have no other gods before me. So obviously, no other gods before God. That's plain and simple. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Now, the Catholic Church and other churches don't like that. They want to promote Mary over God. Who knows why? They don't like God for some reason. The third commandment in verse 5 is, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them. So you're not supposed to bow down to graven images or false prophets, you know, people that think they're God, like the priest. He thinks he's God. He thinks God is inside him, which is crazy. In verse 7 is the fourth commandment. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. People like to do that. You know, you're walking down the street and somebody does something and they say blankety blank. It's always that. Every time. It's got to be God. Every time. Nobody knows why. It's just how it is. They just do it all the time. I mean, it's crazy. The fifth commandment is, thou shalt not take the... No, I read that one. Sorry. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now, I don't have a whole lot on this one because we kind of don't keep the Sabbath day very much anymore. It's mostly Sunday, church day, I think, maybe. I don't know. It was something they did back in the Old Testament, was to keep the Sabbath day, and that's how it went. Verse 12 is the sixth commandment. Probably the most important, even though I don't like to admit it sometimes. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. So you hear that, little kids? Everybody's got to honor thy father and mother. Not even just the little kids. Anybody. If your mom and dad are still alive, you're supposed to honor them. You're supposed to, you know, be a pleasure to your parents. Not be a nuisance. That's me. Thank you, Michael. We have another commandment in verse 13, is thou shalt not kill. That's pretty easy. I mean, personally, never killed anybody. I don't know if anybody has, but not me, so I'm okay with that one. Verse 14, thou shalt not commit adultery. That's a big one nowadays. People like to look at other men's wives for some reason. They like, I don't know, it's just problems that they have, something they need to get rid of. Verse 15, thou shalt not steal. That's, I don't know, that's a pretty good one. Depends who you are. I mean, never stole, I'm good with that one too. That's two in a row. I'm on a good track here. Okay, so verse 16, the ninth commandment, we have, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Oh wait, that's 10. No, that's the ninth. Okay. So you're not supposed to tattle on your neighbor. Mom, neighbor's outside again. Okay. No, not like that. I was joking. Thou shalt not covet is the 10th one. Covet thy neighbor's house. So I go over somebody's house and they have, you know, a nice car. You're not supposed to go over there and be like, oh, I wish I had that car. I wish that was my car. I wish these people didn't have that car. That's not right. I mean, you have your own car, I'm sure. I hope, maybe. I don't know. Even if you don't, you're not supposed to covet other people's belongings. It's a commandment. The Bible says no. But actually, these are the most common. But in the New Testament, Jesus kind of ups the plate. He brings it up a level higher. He brings the standards higher. If everybody would go to Matthew 5. Thing likes my Bible. Matthew 5, verse 21. That's where we're going to start reading. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old times, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in the danger of hell fire. So my no killing just got flushed down the toilet. Because I'm sure everybody has not agreed with their brother in Christ at some point or another, has called him a name or been mad at him for who knows what. And in verse 27, we see another occurrence of this. Ye have heard that it was said by him of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. So you nowadays you don't even have to kill somebody to have committed a sin. It's not like the Old Testament. You know, somebody might tell you, not killing anybody, I've done that. Well, in the New Testament, it's a little bit different. It's not only just killing somebody, but it's also not being together with your brother. It's like being mad at somebody. It's kind of like that. You're calling them names, but you're not joking around. It's serious. You're dead serious about it. It's just like killing somebody. I mean, that's what the Bible says. And committing adultery, it's not committing adultery. It's not the same. It's just thinking about it, which, you know, is hard. Committing adultery, that's pretty bad. And so Paul has instructions also in the New Testament, commandments that Jesus said. Paul has a couple. So if you would like to turn to 1 Thessalonians 4. First Thessalonians 4:1 is where we'll start. For First Thessalonians 4. Furthermore, then, when we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you would abstain from fornication. So there's one commandment. Abstain from fornication. For this is the will... That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. So there's another one. Possess your vessel of sanctification. In verse 5, we have, not in the lust of... Concupiscence. Even as the Gentiles which know not God. Verse 6, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter. So you're not supposed to defraud your brother. You're not supposed to make, I don't know, false statements about it. Not supposed to, you know, tell other people, oh, he did this. Oh, he's a bad person. You know, you're not supposed to tell on other Christians. You're not supposed to tattle, pretty much. So we have quite a few commandments we're supposed to keep, and but that's not even all of them. I mean, there's so many commandments in the Bible. It's unbelievable. It's impossible for anybody. It's not sin. I mean, like Pastor said this morning, all you got to do is not sin, and you can go to heaven. You can either not sin or you can trust God. If you don't sin, you can go to heaven. Well, I guarantee you there's no way anybody can do that except God. I mean, it's impossible. Well, now that we know some of God's commandments, what happens if we keep God's commandments? Well, the first commandment with promise is in Ephesians 6. So... so if we keep God's commandments, we get blessings, things, you know. Like in Ephesians 6, verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So for one, it's right, so we should do it. But on top of that, God puts, honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. So that means you're going to live a couple extra years, maybe more than just a couple. I mean, you could live 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. Just depends on how you honor or obey your mom and dad. I mean, it's pretty simple, kind of, sometimes. I mean, everybody doesn't agree with your parents, but that's what the Bible says. So in John 15:7 is another thing that God does when we uphold his commandments, when we obey him. John 15, verse 7. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. So that means if you pray for something and you're obeying God, it's most likely he's going to do it for you. You know, he's going to answer your prayer, which is a good thing. I mean, everybody wants their prayers to be answered, right? I mean, who doesn't? That's why we ask. But certain things God doesn't think we need, and certain things we do. So it's up to God. But he says if we dwell with him, if we abide in him, then he'll answer our prayers. In John 15:14, just a couple verses later, it says, ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Well, that's always a good thing, to be God's friend, be with God. Abraham was God's friend, actually, and God actually said that Abraham is a friend of mine. And Abraham had blessings from God, too. So let's go look at those. Genesis 18. The blessings of being God's friend. Genesis 18, verse 19. For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. So, since Abraham is God's friend, him and his household, they are kind of pretty much blessed. I mean, Abraham was the start of Israel. I mean, he started a whole country, a whole, I don't even know what you would call it, you know, a tribe. He started his own, like we have Americans. He started Israelites. I mean, that's pretty high up there. That's something to do. That's big. I mean, just for being God's friend, that's pretty simple. That's pretty much all I have on the first commandment. So, first commandment, you want to love God. Well, in order to love God, you need to obey his commandments. And when you obey his commandments, good things happen. You get blessings, your prayers get answered. Who knows what else? I mean, it's just a good idea. It's something you ought to do. Let's go back to Mark 12:31 and see what the second commandment is. Mark 12:31. And the second is like, namely, this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. So those are the two greatest commandments. Love God and love thy neighbor. Well, let's see what Jesus has to say about loving your neighbor. Let's go to Luke 10, verse 29. Luke 10, 29. Once again, he's talking with Pharisees and scribes and hypocrites. Luke 10, 29. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? This is right after Jesus said to love thy neighbor. It's just in a different passage. And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiments, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. So I'm sure you all pretty much know the story, the Good Samaritan. Well, I'm going to read it again. Verse 31. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. It's pretty much on the other side of the road. So how would you like it if you just got beat up, they stole everything you had, this priest comes rolling by in a Cadillac. I mean, nice big car. He sees you, and he pulls away. It's like, wow, you got that nice car, and you can't even pick me up. You can't take me to a hospital, you know, you're just laying there, half beaten up, and he just pulls away from you, doesn't even think about it. Verse 32, and likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. Once again, you have a guy coming in, a Levite. So let's say he's in a BMW. I have a BMW. I'm not guilty of this, I promise. He comes by, and he's got this nice big car, can't pick you, you know, he comes over and looks at you, you know, he's like, oh, are you okay, buddy? Okay, good, walks away. I mean, that's not very helpful. Well, then you have verse 33, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. Now, you got to understand, back in the Bible, in this time, the Jews and the Samaritans, they weren't good friends. I mean, the Samaritan's like a guy that you're going down the highway and he cuts you off. That's what he's like. You know, you hate this guy. Okay, so I just got cut off by this guy, and a couple hours later, I'm laying on the ground. And I know this car because I just got cut off. I mean, you ever had that feeling? You're driving down the road, someone cuts you off. Toyota, going to remember you. So this guy knows exactly who he is. So the Samaritan, the guy that you least want to ever see, comes and helps you out. I mean, that's That's pretty cool, kind of. Verse 34, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. So this guy that cut you off, not only does he help you up, he bandages your wounds, he gives you, you know, like a cream to put on him, like a ointment. He pretty much helps you out, and then he takes you to an inn. Well, what, I mean, how much more can you do? Well, you're about to find out. Verse 34, and went to him and bound a, oh wait, I already read that one. 35, and on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. So this guy not only picks him up, puts him in his car, bandages his wounds, he takes him to a hotel, but he pays for the hotel. Then he tells the guy, okay, whatever you have to spend on this guy, you know, food, water, I'll pay it back when I come back. I mean, that's pretty amazing for somebody that you probably, I mean, I'm sure he knows that you don't like him because he cut you off. I mean, that's not funny. That's not a good thing. Verse 36, which now of the, oh no, I don't need to read that one. Sorry. Lost my spot. So we see now that loving your neighbor is more than just saying it. Like, okay, the guy who passed by, he goes to his other priest friends. He's like, yeah, I saw this guy on the side of the road. I looked at him, made sure he was all right. That's good. Yeah, you're a big help. The Levite, he walks by. Oh, I walked up to him and talked to him and said, hey, buddy, you okay? Okay, that's good. Just walk away. What good does that do anybody? It takes more than just saying I'm helping my neighbor. But you have to do more than just that. You have to spend your money, you know, give them a car ride, whatever. You know, you got to be, you're a Christian. You have to obey the Lord. I mean, when he says love your neighbor, you don't just, oh, I love my neighbor. I didn't do anything for him, but I love my neighbor. I mean, that doesn't cut it. So we have two kinds of neighbors. Who's our first responsibility as a neighbor? Well, let's go to Galatians 6:10. Galatians 6, verse 10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. So we're supposed to do good to everybody. But especially unto them who are of the household of faith. So you're supposed to do even more for your brothers and sisters in Christ. So what's some of that stuff? You know, we see that God wants us to love our brothers, love our sisters, you know. Mostly your brothers, but, you know, that's besides the point. 1 John 3:11, God says a little bit about loving your brothers in Christ. 1 John 3:11. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. So we're supposed to love one another. That's what Jesus says. We're supposed to love our neighbors, and we're supposed to love Christians. Same chapter, just verse 14. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because he loveth the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. So if you don't love your brother, it's like you're dead. I mean, you abide in death. Verse 15. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. So there it is again. If you hate your fellow Christians, you're like a murderer. You know, that commandment, it's done. Thou shalt not kill. You just killed somebody just for hating your brother. Verse 15, the rest of it. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. So you're not, I mean, it's not a good thing to hate your brother. That is not something you want to do. If he says, you know, God says in two verses right in a row, three verses actually, right in a row, we're supposed to love our brothers. I mean, he's got to be pretty serious. I mean, if my parents, if they tell me to do something more than just four or five times, maybe even three, you know, I better go do it. It's not a good idea to sit there. I mean, if it's just like, Mike, go do the laundry. A couple seconds later, Mike, go do the laundry. I mean, just, it was a couple verses later and Jesus said the exact same thing. I mean, I'm pretty sure he means it. You know, love your brother. It's right there. I mean, I think he means it. Here's another one. 1 John 4. 4 verse 20. If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. So now, if you hate your brother, not only are you a murderer, you're also a liar. I don't know about you guys, but I don't like being a liar. That's not something you want to do. Because once you tell one lie, it keeps going and going and going. And then you get caught. Big trouble. That's the end, man. SWATs aren't even in the storybook there. It's bad. Verse 21. And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. In verse 20, I forgot to mention, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? Nobody's seen God, right? I mean, nobody's seen God at your house, in your backyard. How can you say you love something you've never seen, and yet all these people are Christians right in front of you, and you don't love them? I mean, is that even logical? Think about it. I love God, but I hate my brothers in Christ. Okay, how can you love God, once again, which you haven't seen, but hate your brothers in Christ, which are right in front of you? I mean, it's like believing something you've heard and never seen, and then having something right in front of you, like evolution. Never seen evolution? Nobody's ever seen evolution? And the Bible has it right in front of us, and nobody believes it. It's the same thing. I mean, it's just ridiculous. How are we supposed to love our brothers and sisters in Christ? Well, the Bible says in Romans 12:10. Romans 12, verse 10. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, and honor preferring one another. So you're supposed to be kind to your brothers in Christ. Be kindly affectionate. That's one of the things you're supposed to do. Ephesians 4:32 is another. Ephesians 4:32. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. God forgave everybody in this room that has accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. I mean, that's big. God died for us, and we can't forgive our brothers in Christ. God can forgive us for all the sins we have done, all the sins anybody in this room has ever done, and everybody's sin on this entire earth, 6 billion people. He can forgive all of us, but we can't forgive one person. That's how wicked we are. That's how holy God is. In Philippians 2, we have another illustration of this. Philippians 2, verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. We're not only supposed to take care of our stuff, but we're supposed to take care of the Christians. Like, if I go and borrow somebody's car, I don't pop a tire and then put on the spare tire and return it. That's not how it's supposed to go. I mean, if you do something wrong to somebody's, it better be returned fully, or it better be even better than when you got it. That's what my dad always tells me. I mean, it's right there in the Bible. That's how it's supposed to be done. Galatians 6:2 is another Wait, you guys don't have to flip to this. I know it's a lot. I'm sorry. Galatians 6, verse 2. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. So if your brother, something happens, tragedy, you know, family death, you're not supposed to just be like, oh, poor, boo-hoo, poor you, you know. Stinks to be you, you know. Oh, well, too bad. No, you're supposed to mourn with your brothers in Christ. You're supposed to either mourn or be happy, you know. Burdens don't always have to be bad things. Most of the time they are, but they don't always have to be. So our first responsibility is to other Christians. But we also have a responsibility towards the unsaved, the world, ungodly people. Mark 16:15 says something about that. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Okay, we're supposed to go tell everybody about Christ, right? Well, we can't witness to people if we're mean to them. I mean, I'm going down the street corner, there's someone riding by, I run up to him and start screaming in his face. That's not how you're supposed to do it. You're supposed to love him, but you don't want to love him like you love your brothers in Christ. You want to be like kind to him. You want to be kind and compassionate, but we are not supposed to be part of the world. That is something God does not want. 1 John 2:15 stresses that. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So, you're not supposed to love the world. That's pretty simple. There's another one, Romans 12:2. Romans 12, verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that God, an acceptable and perfect will of God. You're not supposed to be part of this world. You're supposed to be not ye conformed, but be transformed. You're not supposed to be the same as this world. You're supposed to be a different. You're supposed to be a Christian. You're not supposed to be going to parties and, you know, all this stuff. You're supposed to be preaching on the street corners and telling people about Christ. I mean, You gotta have a good ego almost. I mean, people gotta know when you walk in. You know, when you walk in, they haven't seen you going in a bar. You know, they've seen you in the store, yeah, but they haven't seen you buying liquor. They've seen you on the street corner. That's something you want them to see. You don't want them to see, oh, that's not a responsible Christian. I saw him at a party last night. I saw him walking into a place where they were all drinking. I mean, you don't want to do that. I'll close with this. So we're supposed to love God by keeping his commandments. And when we keep God's commandments, we get blessings. That's the first and greatest commandment. That's what the Bible says. It says right there in the verse. Then we're supposed to love our neighbors. First, our fellow Christians. We're supposed to love our Christians. If we don't, it's like murder. You know, it's like people nowadays, well, they're supposed to get killed when they kill someone else. Okay? Murder, God sees it the same way. You're not supposed to hate your brothers and sisters in Christ. And then we're supposed to love our neighbors. We're supposed to love our Christians, primarily the Christians that are our neighbors, then the unsaved. And, you know, you got to love the unsaved, but you can't be part of the world. You got to be kind to them, be affectionate, but you can't be part of what they are a part of. You can't be with Satan. You're with the Lord, and you want to show them that. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you that I could get through that. Please, Lord, help if this helped anybody. Please, thank you, Lord, and amen.